This is the Evil Never Dies podcast with Brett and Carl. This podcast may contain adult themes, violence, and strong language. Listener discretion is advised.
The Evil Never Dies podcast.
Welcome back to the Evil Never Dies podcast.
Yeah, 3, 2, 1, go. We couldn't get the damn Zoom to start.
The button wouldn't go.
Yeah. So it took us five times. 3, 2, 1, go. That's my new word for the week. Hey, I'm trying to put my drink together too.
Oh, you're trying to make a drink right when we get started, huh?
Yeah, wait. See, I got this Liquid Death Severed Lime. We're now endorsed by Liquid Death.
Shit, I wish we were.
An absolute lime. And tonight...
I got me a new cup.
Juliet gave me her cup. It for you. Yeah. And I got me a new bear.
It's got a devil dog bear stickers all over it.
Devil bear.
Oh, yes. That's cool.
And we got this bear. If you don't have YouTube, you're missing out because you won't see this cool bear.
Ooh, his eyes even light up. That's awesome.
Can you hear him?
No, I can't hear him.
I know my mic is so good, it cuts everything out. Anyway. On to the show.
On to the show.
We are going to review The Fly. But not the fake fly, not the remake of a fly. This is the real fly from 1958, semi-starring Vincent Price. Actually, I thought he was, he's not really the star of the movie.
No, he's not.
I watched this when I was a kid all the time, and I haven't seen it in probably 35 years or maybe 40.
Yeah, it's been a while for me, too.
So I thought it was a Vincent Price movie, but it really isn't.
No, it's not. All right. The Fly.
1958.
Based on The Fly by George Langenlane.
Langenlane.
Produced and directed by Kurt Newman. Screenplay by James Clavell. Cinematography by Carl Strauss. Edited by Merrill G. White. Music by Paul Sawtell. And really liked the soundtrack in this, too.
I didn't pay a lot of attention to the soundtrack, honestly.
It's sort of faint. Like in the background, but
it was sort of faint. I was more trying to keep up with the movie than kind of lost track of the soundtrack. Cause I think you're right. It sort of fades in the background.
Yeah. But it's really cool. It's really spooky in parts for sure. So
definitely spooky.
All right. Production company, 20th Century Fox, distributed by 20th Century Fox, released on July 16th, 1958 in the United States. Running time of 94 minutes. Country of origin, the United States. English language. Budget. People say anywhere between $325,000 and $495,000. And it brought in $3 million at the box office.
So sort of a hit, but not really. But it was a B movie, what they called them back then. So. For a B movie, that's probably pretty good. I don't know.
Well, they launched this movie as a head movie for double features.
Yeah, with the alligator people.
Yeah, a few different movies for sure.
I know the alligator people were one of them. And look at this. I'm still wearing Rangers gear, and the Rangers are in the midst of the biggest breakdown in the history of baseball.
Oh, no.
They are. So soon, I will be not wearing Ranger shirts because baseball season's about over with. I guess I could wear Astro shirts or go back to my heavy metal shirts.
Okay.
Yeah, just random thought in the middle of all this. Because that's how I roll. I just
all right. Well, since you're on a roll, why don't you go over the plot of the movie?
Oh, hell. The plot of the movie. So the movie starts out. They find I guess it's a night watchman finds a dead guy with his head and arm crushed in a press.
Yep. A hydraulic press.
I thought it was like a printing press for a minute. I couldn't figure out. I actually had to go back and watch that twice to sort of figure out what's going on. But as the night watchman, looks on, he sees the guy's wife who runs off. So I think he calls Vincent Price instead of the police. And then the wife calls Vincent Price and says, I killed my husband. And Vincent Price's brother is dead, smushed by a hydraulic press, his head and his arm crushed to death.
Only one arm.
Only one arm, not both arms, just one. So Vincent Price calls the detective or the investigator or whatever they call him, an inspector, and says, hey, my sister-in-law killed my brother and I need your help. And the inspector shows up and eventually they find the wife who seems like she says, I killed him, but she won't
tell you why.
I can't tell you why. And in the middle of it, she's obsessed with flies, especially a white-headed fly. Yeah. And it gets creepy from there. And eventually, I think Vincent Price tells her, hey, I've got the white-headed fly. So, oh, okay, well, I'll tell you the whole story. And most of the movie is a flashback.
Yeah.
To how this dude gets crushed in the hydraulic press or the printing press. I don't know what kind of press it was. I just know his dude got smushed like an MF-er. I'm trying not to cuss tonight because I cussed on the midweek episode, which I'm not supposed to do. I fucked up. Oops, I just cussed. Oops. God dang it. Oh, well. Anyway, that's the plot. We're not going to spoil this movie because a lot of people probably haven't seen The Fly. And if you have, probably been a while. So let's do this spoiler free tonight.
Or if you've seen the remake, you probably know the gist of the movie.
Yeah.
For sure.
Wasn't that a Cronenberg movie, the remake?
Yep. Cronenberg movie.
Yeah. We got some more of it.
I couldn't believe they made two sequels off of that either.
Right?
I know. Wasn't a big fan.
What, of the sequels to the original or the?
The original remake.
Oh, the sequels are good.
Oh, they are?
I like them.
From the remake? The sequels of the remake?
No.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
I'm talking about The Fly, which is right here, and The Return of the Fly, which is right here, and The Curse of the Fly. The three original movies. I don't know about remakes and all that. Well, I just know Cronenberg remade that one with Jeff Goldblum or whatever, and it was terrible. Yeah.
Well, they made two remakes after that.
I didn't even know that.
Yes, they did.
That's stupid.
Yeah. All right, let's go over the cast here. First, we got David Hedison, credited as Al Hedison, as Andre Delambre. What a hell of a name right there, boy.
Yeah, no, they were in Quebec, so they were all French-Canadians, even though they didn't sound French-Canadian, but they had French-Canadian names.
Next, we got Patricia Owens as Helene Delambre.
The alleged murderer.
Murder wife.
The murdering wife.
Next, we got Vincent Price as Francois Delambre. You like how I said Francois?
Francois. Francois, you need to roll your R's, Bubba.
You won't get no R rolling over here.
Roll the R.
Next, we got Herbert Marshall as Inspector Charis.
He did a good job, I thought.
Yep. Kathleen Freeman as Emma. Betty Lou Gerson as Nurse Anderson. Charles Herbert as Felipe Delambre, the little boy, the son.
Yeah, he's the son who would actually play a role in the sequel.
And Eugene Borden as Dr. Azut.
I thought he was going to say, is Dr. Lizzie Borden. I've still got Lizzie Borden on the mind, the band, not the murderer.
And rounding out, we got Torben Meyer as Gaston.
Gaston.
Gaston?
Yeah.
And that is the cast for The Fly.
Yeah, so like I said, I always thought this was a Vincent Price movie until I watched it Thursday night. Friday night, whenever I watched it, and I'm like, this isn't really a Vincent Price movie. What the hell? Why didn't Vincent Price star in this thing? Or did he? I'm confused. I'm yeah, sure
he was at the beginning and at the end of it, basically, is what it was.
I was going to say, maybe your trivia will explain to me why Vincent Price wasn't the star.
I don't know
who the hell David Hiddison is. I never heard of the dude.
Never heard of any of them, anybody else in this movie, but Vincent Price.
So. Yeah, sort of weird.
All right. I guess we'll go over some trivia.
Let's start with trivia. Yeah, this should be a good trivia. You know, sometimes I'm grappy of trivia, but tonight I'm interested in trivia. The older movies, I love trivia. So hit it.
All right. This was the biggest box office hit for director Kurt Newman, but he never knew it.
Yeah, he died, didn't he?
Yeah, he died a month after the film's premiere.
That's sad.
Yeah. Awful. Part of the laboratory set was used in the film. Was Emmerak, the computer from Fox's production Death Set. From 1957.
That set was weird.
Yeah, that's
the laboratory
like
was weird. I didn't particularly like it.
Yeah, it's a
looked like a bunch of neon lights and stuff.
Yeah. Pretty cool computer stuff though for back in the day.
Yeah, but just the lighting I thought was weird. It like I said, it looked like it was more a bunch of neon lights and stuff set up than anything.
All right, this movie is considered one of the Mandela effects. A lot of people think that this film, when it came out, was in black and white.
Dude, I thought it was too. What the fuck? I know it was in black and white. How did it get in color? Did Ted Turner colorize it?
Nope. It was always done in color.
I swear it was in black and white when I saw it as a kid. I was going to mention that. I'm glad you brought it up. Here's what's weird. What? But what?
Return of the Fly and Curse of the Fly.
They're all in black and white.
They're in black and white. So maybe
what the hell?
So maybe that's where people get confused.
I thought it was in black and white. And when I was watching, I'm like, why is this in color? It would have been better in black and white, honestly. I would have rather seen it. Matter of fact, next time I watch it, I'm going to turn the color off, dude. I can do that on my Vizio 4K. I'm going to turn the color off. Make it monochrome.
David Hedison suggested that his character wear progressive makeup effects to make it look like he was half human, half fly.
Yeah.
But it was going to cost way too much money. So they
cut it.
X-nayed that. So let's see here. Betty Lou Gerson, who played the nurse in the film, was also the voice of Cruella de Vil in 101 Dalmatians from 1961, and she was the narrator for Cinderella in 1950. Did you know that?
No, I did not. I had no clue that nobody narrated Cinderella.
Andre wears the same clothes in nearly every scene during the film, with the exception of the night him and Helene go out to a ballet to celebrate. And then they're dressed to the gills.
They are.
Now she was sort of a, she was really weird in this. She was just like totally freaked out the whole time, man. Well,
wouldn't you be freaked out if the dude,
if your husband was a fly,
turns into a fly? A fly, yeah, man, she, actually.
He's all into it, though, like when he's testing the stuff and all that, testing.
Well, I'm going to give one spoiler, and it really makes me mad. They kill a cat in this movie, and I'm really upset about it.
They didn't actually kill him.
In 1959 or whatever.
He was still meowing.
Yeah, but I didn't like that part.
He just didn't know where from.
Don't fuck with the cats.
He was in an alternative universe.
Well, they should have made a movie about the cat in another universe. But I do think this movie was in black and white. I think they just colorized it for Blu-ray. I don't know.
Nope, it was released in we'll get to that later.
Why did I not see it in color when I was a kid?
I don't know.
Maybe Channel 21 made it black and white. I don't know.
I don't know.
Or Channel 11 is probably where I saw it. That's where I used to watch all my horror movies when I was a kid. Channel 11 was not CBS back in the day. It was an independent station. They had Icky Twerp and the Three Stooges, and they showed horror movies.
The good old days.
Yeah.
Did you have a horror guy on there every weekend?
No, we had Icky Twerp. He hosted the Three Stooges and Slam Bang Theater. He was our local dude. We didn't have a horror guy. They just played the movies at night.
Oh, okay.
Along with the Rangers baseball on Channel 11. Channel 11 was good stuff until CBS took it over. Now it's a sorry channel. It was all locally produced stuff on Channel 11 is what I liked about it when I was a kid. They even had the Shootin' Newton show on there, dude.
Shootin' Newton. Who's that?
Jim Newton. He was a local dude that had a music show. It was pretty cool stuff.
Oh, okay.
I sound like Russ Martin. That's what I used to like about Russ on the Eagle or 105.3 when he switched channels. He'd always talk about the local stuff, you know, like when we were kids and bring up things. Channel 11 was our local channel, and that's where I saw The Fly, and it was in black and white, damn it. It was.
The costumes in this film are classic 1950s sensibility clothing.
Definitely. There's no doubt.
Semi-formal. Like the guys lounging in the backyard wearing a tie and a white shirt, you know?
Yeah, everybody wore a tie in this 50s, I think. Well, the men, at least. The women didn't.
In four of the five Fly films, 58, 59, 86, and 89, the laboratory is accessed by a large sliding metal door.
That's cool to know.
And also Seth Brundle from the 86 remake was his apartment door.
Hmm.
And then Martin Brundle's lab in 89, it was his door. It was a sliding door. And I guess Cronenberg decided to keep that as a
nod to the original movie.
Nod to the original, yep.
Maybe should I watch the Cronenberg movie again someday, or should we just skip it?
No, I think we should just skip it. There's way better Cronenberg films than that.
Yeah, well, that Rabbit is the one I think I'm gonna watch next.
Yep, I think we need to review
it's
that.
It's on the list. Well, yeah, I found it on Vudu as well, so I may go ahead and pick that up here this week.
So yeah. In the first scene of the film, when the night watchman walks through the factory and stops for a minute, and he's looking at something, he's looking at a generator. Camera zooms in on it, and it's marked with the letters OC230 115 volt 400 amp SP10 R, and then there's a red handle covering the space between the O and the R, and it spells out spider.
Weird.
Yeah, ain't that weird?
Yeah, it was weird. Very, very weird.
Like we said, the short story The Fly by French-British writer George Langenlan was the basis of the film. It was originally published the June 1957 issue of Playboy magazine.
Oh, wow.
The reference of the title of that issue of Playboy was Hollywood Horror, From Gothic to Cosmic.
Did you say Hollywood Horror or Horror?
Horror!
Okay, you said Hollywood Horror, I thought.
And it was on page 173. I guess that page probably wouldn't have been stuck together back then. You didn't get that, did you?
I didn't even hear what you said. I wasn't paying attention, sorry. Something about the page wasn't stuck together yet.
We'll have to go back and listen when it comes up.
I heard you. I just ignored you. Bad joke.
Oh.
I'm sure the Gazoo laughed at that joke.
Scene in the film between Andre and Helene in the garden had to be redubbed because the birds in it were singing too loud.
Yeah.
In the audio commentary from the DVD release of the film. Is that on that DVD you gave me? Commentary?
Yeah, it should be.
Okay, yeah, there's two discs to that. So David Hedison admitted that as an actor, he hated dubbing and put little effort into it. Nothing that he sounds flat in the scene. He rushed through it just so he could make a flight on time.
Oh, wow.
Most famous scene of the film. Help me. Help me. Was not repeated in the 1986 remake.
Well, that might have been good, maybe. I don't know. That was sort of silly.
It was sort of silly in this one, but they finally found the white-headed fly.
They did. They found him. He really was a white-headed fly.
The Fly was included among the American Film Institute's 2000 list of 400 films nominated for the top 100 most heart-pounding American movies. I guess this would have been pretty freaky back in 1958 for sure.
Hell, it was freaky to me when I was a kid.
Yeah. Just that first, when she rips that cover off his head, you know?
Yeah, it freaked me out.
This film's success, combined with that of Warner Brothers' 1953 3D film House of Wax and William Castle's The Tingler, helped propel character actor Vincent Price into becoming Hollywood's King of Horror and making him popular enough that he was given the above title billing in several low-budget Robert Corman films.
Roger.
Yeah, we need to maybe probably look into some of his stuff, too.
Yeah, we do. We haven't got into Vincent Price much, if at all.
Or Roger Corman.
Yeah. Yeah, Roger Corman. We got a lot of directions we need to start turning to, and we just keep kind of spinning the wheels back to something else. So we don't listen to our notes that we put on the notes. Sorry. My fault.
This film was produced by Regal Films, which normally supplied 20th Century Fox with low-budget black and white anamorphic widescreen, credited as Regal Scope, that played as the bottom half of double features with one of Fox's CinemaScope releases at the top half. Film had a much larger budget, was filmed in color, and was used the top half of the double feature, and it was paired with Space Master X7 from 1958 also.
And the alligator people.
And this is what this was when drive-ins were way big back in the day. So this was a big drive-in movie.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Let's see here. Oh, the sound made by the teleporter in this film is the same sound heard when the prototype disappears in the film The Time Machine from 1960. So they use the same
that,
sound.
That does, I do, I love that movie, The Time Machine. And matter of fact, that could almost be put in the horror movie genre.
Yep. It's
kind of got some spooky monsters and stuff in The Time Machine. So
exactly. All right, let's see here. What else we got? When this film was released on DVD in New Zealand, it was given a restricted 16 rating.
I guess it scared people under 16 in
when
Australia.
When did DVDs come out? Late 90s?
90s, yeah.
If it was even released, then it might have been later than that, because when DVDs first come out, there was limited stuff you could buy, you know.
Yeah, it was very limited. There's still some stuff you can't get on Blu-ray that was only released on DVD too. So
yeah, I know.
Luckily, like, a good example is this Curse of the Fly, which is the third movie. It was never given a VHS release or a DVD release, and it's not anywhere on streaming. This is the only way to watch it is this Scream Factory copy.
Really?
On DVD. Yes, it is.
Huh.
Apparently, it was a colossal failure and a flop, and everybody hated it, so they sort of buried it.
Really?
Yeah. That's part three.
This film was re-released in Spain three times. In 1988, in limited release, in subtitled version only, and Madrid by Artistic Metropole in 2014, and in Barcelona by Phenomena in 2016, and it was also only a subtitled version. So that's about all I got for trivia.
Okay, so what do we got on this movie that we can add? I don't think it won any awards.
It was nominated for something, but they didn't win. I forget what it was now.
It was mixed reviews by the critics. A lot of it called it just sort of dumb, I think. And other people liked it. So it was sort of a 50-50 affair. For the 50s or the late 50s, there were some really dumb sci-fi horror movies, and I thought this movie was not. So I don't know why. I mean, there was a lot of dumb shit that came out in the 50s, you know, with giant octopuses and giant ants. And so a movie of the
Ed Wood films.
Ed Wood films. So I don't think a guy turned into a fly was that far-fetched for this era. So I don't know why it got such bad reviews.
Yeah,
I'm just looking at the review. There's really nothing. It gets a 95 fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
So I think it's probably more thought of now as a classic than it would have been then. I think, you know, it's held up over time, probably, maybe. I mean, there's very limited special effects, and it's not needed. Like I said, I thought the studio was overkill. And the damn thing should have been in black and white. I think being in color really kind of took a lot away. It should have been a black and white movie. I don't know why 20th Century Fox wasted their money to make this in color. That was a mistake. But it was definitely a 20th Century Fox ran movie. Maybe it had something to do with that Regal Studios or Regal Pictures wanting to do it in their Regal scope or whatever.
Yeah,
I don't know. Is that the same Regal that owns the cinemas today? It might
I
be.
Don't know. I don't
I
know.
Bet it is.
I don't know.
Of course, we know that 20th Century and Fox are now broken into two, with 20th Century being a part of Disney and Fox being still its own company. So they used to be apart, and now once again they are apart. But that means that Disney now owns the rights to The Fly, so take it for what you will. Maybe there'll be a Disney Plus series called The Fly coming up.
Oh, I hope not.
Fuck.
It's now a Disney product.
Oh, let's hope not.
You don't want to see the fly of the TV
let's
show?
Hope, let's hope Blumhouse don't fucking get a hold of it for sure.
Or Bloomberg, as I kept calling it. And
did you see that meme I made?
No.
The picture of the Pope with a weird look on his face and it says me.
No.
Hoping fucking that. Blumhouse don't fuck up the new Exorcist movie.
They haven't fucked up a lot of movies. They've done some good stuff.
Oh, I know. I'm just being.
I know that
silly.
Halloween series really kind of put a bad taste in everybody's mouth, at least with us. I don't really have anything else on the fly. There's not a lot of info out there. Like I said, I thought it was a Vincent Price movie, but it really isn't. He's in it, but he's not the star of it. Maybe, I don't know why that happened. I think he should have been the main guy, the professor or whatever. He would have done really good in it, but what can you say?
And he would have spent more time in the movie, but it wouldn't have been his face.
No, maybe that's why he didn't want to do it. I don't know.
Maybe. But all the people that they even had that were going for the main part, they're like no-name people. It's like,
yeah, it was definitely a B film. There's no doubt about it. But like I said, there was a lot worse sci-fi 50s movies that came out. Because as you read the article in Playboy mentioned, gothic horror was dead and everything in the 50s was sci-fi horror. I guess starting maybe with the Blue Lagoon or the Blue, what the fuck's it called? The Creature from the Black Lagoon. I called it the Blue Lagoon. Jimbo's going to be mad. That's his favorite movie. And I called it the Creature from the Blue Lagoon. Sorry, Jimbo.
All right, Carl, what do you rate this film at? What are you going to give it?
A lot of people are confused by our ratings. I found out over the
past
few weeks.
Yeah, I know, but I don't like doing a 10.
Maybe we should do a A, B, C, D, E, or F.
No. Stop it. You're being silly now.
No, I'm being serious, actually. Maybe a 3 would be a C. I don't know. But either way, I would give this a 3. I mean, a 3 being it's a good movie. It's not a 2 and it's not a 4. And it's not a 3.5 and it's not a 2.5. I give it a 3. I do enjoy The Fly. I'll watch it again. I'm glad I now have it on Blu-ray, which I had it before, but I guess I didn't know I had it. So when I bought these three, so Brett inherited my other version of The Fly. These are Scream Factory versions. It is out. Scream Factory put them all out, but luckily I was able to get the three originals only from Movie Trading Company. So I give it a 3.
Okay. Well, could have did a little better probably on the special effects. Seemed like they wanted to skimp on that. I think they should have went with the head actor guy and spent a little more money and went like a metamorphosis-like type deal.
Like the guy, actor talked about, yeah.
Yeah. I think agreed. They would have, it probably would have been better that way. Cinematography, I think, was really good in this for sure. And I actually like, you didn't, I actually listened to the soundtrack close up on it and liked that a lot. Very creepy for sure. Fit the movie. It was like sort of like a sci-fi sort of like mixture in with it.
Yeah, no, don't get it wrong. This is definitely a sci-fi horror movie.
Yes, but, for sure. For
but
sure.
It sci-fi horror movies are good and they fit our category. Hell, we could actually review the Terminator according to the rules we have in effect, probably.
Yeah, we could.
So we may do more sci-fi horror in the future. I don't know.
Well, yeah, you got Alien, you know. Yeah. So, yeah. Lots of creepy alien stuff, so. But I'm going to give it a 3 too.
Yeah, 3 what it deserves. It's
3's fair. It still holds up.
It holds up well. It should have been in black and white, I think.
I tell you the truth, I thought it was always in black and white too.
Yeah, I think that is a Mandela effect right there.
But this was like one of the first movies that they did that Fox did in the color. So they were actually still testing it when they were doing screenshots and stuff for this. So, but yeah, I give it a 3.
Definitely a 3. It deserves a 3. Recommended. Yes. I would watch The Fly. It's available on streaming. You can find it. The sequels get a little more difficult, but they're not as good. Doubt we'll do the sequel reviews, but, if
never
you like
know,
this
might,
movie,
we might get desperate.
We might get desperate and do Return of the Fly, but I definitely recommend this. It is available from Scream Factory. I don't know if 20th Century still has any. I don't know what. I think Disney's trying to kill Blu-rays. So if you got something that's a Fox, 20th Century Fox product, don't sell it, because Disney's trying to kill the Blu-ray industry. So
yeah, they want to take
you,
everybody
Mickey
over.
Mouse.
They want to take everybody over with the streaming.
Yeah, they want to. Netflix and Disney Plus are holding people behind that paywall. If you don't have those streaming services, they're not making their movies available on Blu-ray or any other streaming anymore. Netflix used to put their stuff on Vudu you could buy, but they don't do that anymore, and neither does Disney. So thumbs down to Netflix and Disney for paywall and shit. I don't like that.
I have neither one of them. So.
I don't like when you... I think they should at least make it available for video, but I'm telling you, man, the Blu-rays are getting less and less because they're putting this shit on Vudu so quick after box office. By the time the DVD comes out, people like me have already bought it on Vudu, and
exactly,
I'm falling into the trap. And I think the Curse of the Demeter is coming next. I think I'm going to buy that damn thing next week.
Oh,
yeah.
I tried finding it, and I watched maybe 10 minutes of it. It looks pretty good, man.
Yeah, that's going to be one of our upcoming movies. Now, in November, not November, boy, I'm really fucked up. Not drunk, just can't think. Been awake all day. In October, we're going to try to do a theme month, I think.
Yeah.
But we are going to have a Friday the 13th in October, so we're probably going to have to do a Friday the 13th that weekend, no matter what we do. I don't know what we haven't reviewed yet.
You can look.
I'll look, but you could tell me and make it easy on me. I refuse to review Part 5. I hate that movie.
Oh, okay. I got a couple things in the works for October, too. I'm hoping I can work out.
Yeah, so we're going to try to do a theme in October. I don't know what it might be yet, but we're going to work it out. So we'll look forward to October and Halloween month.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff going on in October with The Haunt.
The Haunt.
We got stories to tell.
Maybe me going to see Kiss actually in person instead of coming to The Haunt.
Yeah.
Jack Robbie may no show his own haunted house.
You know, if it was anybody else but you, I would say fuck off.
I wonder what Richard would do if I was still at Moxley full time.
Oh,
and I told him I'm not coming on the Friday.
Let's not go there.
Because I know two people.
What happened to me when I went and seen Slayer?
Yeah, I know two people went and saw Slayer, and me and Richard were talking shit. Motherfuckers can't come to the weekend of Halloween weekend because they got to go see Slayer. So, yeah, we'll see how that works out.
Fucking Slayer!
Now, shout out to my friend Heather. I've known her since middle school, so I just told her I'd do a shout-out to her today. So, shout-out, Heather.
Oh, Heather, the one that's on Facebook that I know too, that I'm friends with too. Okay.
Yeah. Shout out to Heather.
Yeah, we all need to get together and have a drink.
Yeah, we could.
If she drinks. Does she listen to the show then, huh?
I'm trying to get her to. I don't know if she does or not. I think a lot of people don't know how to listen to the show. I think they're confused as to what the hell we are. Are we a podcast? Or are we a YouTube show?
Just send them the link.
I push the YouTube part And I think, Brett, you still push the podcast portion.
I do both.
I do the YouTube part because the YouTube shit was my idea. Because look at my cool studio back here. Yours is cool, too. We got cool studios. Even though I can see your kitchen, but I won't comment on that.
All right. Can't see my kitchen.
Okay, well, we're going to end the show for the week. Check us out on our social media. What?
We've rambled on long enough.
Oh, yeah. No Michael Myers this week. But check us out on our social medias. We're on Facebook, the Evil Ones group. Join the group and make some comments. There's been a lot going on in the group.
Yeah, there has.
We've got a few requests. And
stepping up.
Yep. Of course, we're on YouTube and we're on all podcast formats. Spotify, yep. Apple. We're even on iHeartRadio. So you can find us anywhere. But I prefer YouTube. That's just me. And I think we got better numbers on YouTube now. So that makes me happy.
Yes, we do. We just had last month, we had 6.66 thousand views.
Wow.
So
that's cool. So we're doing good on YouTube, and that's my preferred format because I like to show off stuff like this Fly DVD. So, and we're on X even. I don't know if you're updating X.
Yeah, I'm there. I just post the shows on there. Reels on there is all I put on there. So,
well, you can check me out at www.carltom.com. We got links to everything there. What?
I don't
really, you're blocking me.
Blocking you?
Yeah, I'm trying to talk and you're blubbing on me. What'd you say? You done messed me up now.
Go ahead.
Carl, no, you go ahead.
Todd.com.
You go ahead. Damn you.
TikTok. I don't really interact on there either. I just
TikTok. I can't even log into TikTok. I got blocked from TikTok.
And and Instagram, whatever I post on Facebook automatically goes there.
Goes to Instagram.
So, yeah.
Well, I was trying to pimp the webpage, but Bubba interrupted me with his TikTok comment. Now, too late now.
Pimp it.
Sorry. Nope. No pimping. I just got a haircut. Look how long my hair is. It's actually short in the back, though. That's all I got.
Party in the front and business in the back.
I guess. There's nothing in the back.
All right, everybody. Thanks again for watching, listening, or injecting us. We don't know, however.
And get you
stay evil, everybody.
Liquid death. Stay evil.
Will everyone in the theater hold on firmly to his seat, please?
Stop it! Stop it!
I'm Vincent Price. What unearthly horror did that girl gaze upon? What manner of incredible thing walked beneath that hood? It would be unfair at this time to show you any more of what went on in that laboratory where a man actually dared to play God. So fantastic, words can't begin to describe it. You must see it with your own eyes to believe it. When the fly comes your way.
It isn't like any other fly I've ever seen.
I've killed Andre. Please help me. Call the police and...
The charge can only be murder.
There were no mistresses. I had no lovers.
Why did you kill him?
God, don't let it get out.
Inspector. Inspector, it's in the garden. Come quickly.
As God is my witness, I saw the thing. It's unbelievable. I shall never forget that scream as long as I live.
The fly is on its way. Watch out for it. It's far beyond anything your mind could ever conceive.